we have major security gaps, and there is a vulnerability.
You know about this. Who else knows about this? And what are we doing to help close those gaps? Because that's certainly an important part of our war on terrorism. It's not just chasing down radical Islamists around the world.
Well, you know, it depends on exactly the number of different types of applications of information warfare. IW encompasses both the use of computers to attack as well as defend, as well as track and monitor.
Mm-hmm.
There are also other means and methodologies of being able to alter the perception of an opponent. We call that the psychological operations of information warfare, by gaining information, changing information. Cooking is the term in the intelligence community.
Right.
A real good example of the cross between civilian and military and political and war, the Air Force considered unleashing their IW troops, or Information Warfare Squadron, against Saddam Hussein during the last exercise, this Iraqi Freedom that we just went through. And they ran into a problem. The IW people informed our higher echelon that they could break into Saddam Hussein's financial network and basically shut down his access to money, which could, of course, be quite critical if you're talking about extended combat.
Right.
The problem with that, though, was that by penetrating the network and shutting it down, they probably would have also shut down several banks in Paris. Therefore, Jacques Chirac probably would not have been able to go to the ATM and pull out a few euros that day.
Maybe he would need that kind of shock,
well,
given his support of us.
Even if they didn't support us, it's, well, we're starting to cross borders here.
Yeah.
And one has to realize, in the case of the Iraqis, and this is also common with the China as well as other national technical sources, in many cases they utilize both civilian as well as military networks, intermingling their traffic. So it is sometimes very difficult to discern which is which. And it can become, you can cause inadvertent damage to even an ally if you're doing a military-style attack. So there are a number of different ways of applying this. Like IW, or information warfare, has been very effective against Al-Qaeda and their networks, because we have been using it to essentially track financially their operations. That has been actually a key to determining the location as well as the types of operations that they're engaging in.
Mm-hmm.
The old axiom, no bucks, no Buck Rogers, well, the same thing applies in the world of terrorism. No bucks, no terrorist. You can't operate without a lot of money behind many of these operations. And by tracking down their financial networks, tracking down the logistics end of their networks, we have essentially been able to track down many of the members of the terrorist operations. And I suspect the recent arrests in London, in Italy, in France, that we've seen within the past 7 to 10 days have been directly related to our ability to monitor their financial transactions.
Now, when we're doing, and I talked about some of those arrests at the beginning of the program this evening, because it really was a concentrated number of arrests going on, as you mentioned, in several European countries, and yet all of the people were intertwined. When we're doing the surveillance of their money, not all of it is in banks, and that's part of the problem, isn't it, when we're tracking terrorist money?
Oh, yeah. Do keep in mind that Osama bin Laden is also relatively cyber aware. They will frequently use hard means of transfer. For example, one of the major ways that he made money on the 9/11 attacks was by transferring or selling short on our stock market, in particular in the airline and hotel industries, and then transferring that cash into brokerages in Africa, which transferred the money into diamonds, which were then hard carried, literally out of the country to be deposited elsewhere in accounts with, which are, again, not traceable or trackable. So, they, you know, whereas a lot of people still view Osama bin Laden as an Islamic fundamentalist terrorist, and that this is has some sort of neo-religious base with the 13th century, I think of him in more of the terms of a modern-day Goldfinger, where he was actually attempting to make money on these terrorist operations, and he continues to do so. He's not stupid. And one of the things that he has done has been won by transferring funds through banks that do not track or do not carry account balances, do not ask questions. And we've seen those in Burma, for example, just recently. And he has also transferred funds into hard, tangible items such as diamonds, in particular through the brokerage houses in Sudan, in Kenya, and other places in Africa.
Aren't those the diamonds, or am I wrong, that were called the blood diamonds, where there really was an effort to try to stop the transfer of those gems into Western jewelry traffic, so to speak?
Yeah, a good percentage of them are. And that's, you know, if you've seen the last James Bond movie, there are a number of references to this, and this is because they are generally used by terrorist or government organizations to fund their military and neo-political desires, and that's one of the reasons why there have been a number of bans on these things. You have to remember that in cases of Asia, certain places in Asia, Pakistan, Burma, Indonesia, Thailand, in Africa, you know, along the Horn, in Sudan, in Ethiopia, sometimes even Kenya, which has actually been getting a lot better, the transactions in the trade of gold and diamonds, platinum, and other things are usually done literally right across the table, face to face. Osama bin Laden is very well aware that we do track a lot of his communications, and he will essentially operate by physical couriers carrying physical bags of diamonds, of messages, instead of attempting to send them electronically.